It's turned again to the Bible and to the Old Testament, to Psalm 87. Through these summer weeks, I've been looking at Psalms, some Psalms that have been significant. And this is one that maybe isn't that well known, although one or two verses are taken from it, and indeed we've been singing a hymn that has been based on this. Psalm 87. Let us hear God's word. He has set his foundation on the holy mountain. The Lord loves the gates of Zion more than all the dwellings of Jacob. Glorious things are said of you, O city of God. I will record Rahab and Babylon among those who acknowledge me, Philistia too, and Tyre, along with Cush, and will say, this one was born in Zion. Indeed, of Zion it will be said, this one and that one were born in her, and the Most High himself will establish her. The Lord will write in the register of the peoples, this one was born in Zion. As they make music, they will sing, all my fountains are in you. May God bless his word to us today. I'm sure you would agree with me that for each of us, the place where we were born is special. And if you were maybe born in a certain place, as I was in Larne, and then have moved around a little bit since that, you find that you still have a warmth for that place. You still have an affinity for it. And although we do joke about Larne because I spent the first 16 years of my life there, it does hold a special place in my heart. And so I like visiting it, and different places around the coast there remind me of my childhood and happy memories. So I like it as a town, although I'm not sure I like it enough to move back to it, actually. But I do like it. God has made us with an affinity for place. We are not just souls without bodies. We are body, mind, and spirit. And the place that we live in, the place that we were brought up, these places resonate with us. They have an impact on us. They shape us. There's various things in culture that shape us and give us our identity, our place of birth, our family relationships, local culture and traditions, our religion, the place that we work. All these aspects, all these factors go into making you the person that you are. And that's good. That's the richness of culture. But as people who are believers, we have, if you like, two birthplaces. We have our physical, earthly, geographical birthplace. But if we are a believer, the Bible assures us that we also have a heavenly birthplace, a heavenly Jerusalem, Zion. And there is a register, there is a book of life with your name in it, if you have trusted in Jesus Christ. And in a number of places in the Bible, that register, that book of life is referred to. Now, Psalm 87 speaks of a favorite place for God and for God's people. In the Psalm, it is called Zion. It is better known to us as Jerusalem. And I thought we would reflect and think about this idea of the city of God, of Zion, and to reflect also that we are Zion's children under the New Testament as well as under the Old Testament. So that's what I want us to think about for a time this morning. Zion is first mentioned in 2 Samuel chapter 5 when David captures Jerusalem. It says this, David captured the fortress of Zion, the city of David. We're not 100% sure where the name Zion came from, but scholars reckon that it was a hill upon which Jerusalem, the fort, was built. Pretty soon, the name Zion became all-encompassing, and it began to be the alternate name, if you like, for Jerusalem, the city. It is mentioned over 150 times in the Bible, many times in the Old Testament, and as we have seen, it is also mentioned in the New Testament. It represented the place where God was close, where God dwelt, because the temple was there. Before the temple, the tabernacle was a special place. It symbolized the presence of God with his people. Now, like so much in the Bible, we're not given reasons why God set his presence in Jerusalem. He did it by his grace, by his sovereign choice. He also chose Israel, the nation, out of grace. In Exodus 19 and 5, he says, "Out of all the nations, you will be my treasured possession." There is nothing particularly special about Israel, nothing significant about them, but for some reason, God in his grace set his love upon them. He says, "You will be my people. You will be my treasured possession. You will be the nation that will bring the light of God to everyone else in the world." In the Psalm 87 in verse 2, it says, "The Lord loves the gates of Zion more than all the dwellings of Jacob." It doesn't say why, but it just says his love, his grace is set upon this city. Maybe it was because it was a city on a height. And maybe the idea was that, yes, it was a fortress built on a mountain, but also that the light from this city could be seen for all around. Maybe that's why he chose this site and this location. But time and again, the Bible sets before us God's sovereign choice without giving reasons. Zion, Jerusalem, is a favored place as far as God is concerned. But this favor is not a blind favoritism. There is a dependence. There are conditions built into it. Jerusalem was encouraged to stay close to God. And in fact, whenever Jerusalem and its inhabitants and the people of Israel became sinful, Jerusalem was devastated. It was handed over to Babylon. And in fact, there were three times whenever there were invasions of Jerusalem in 605 BC, 597 BC, and then finally in 586 BC, when Jerusalem was completely destroyed along with the temple. The people of Judah, and specifically Jerusalem, could not understand how God's favored place, God's dwelling place, could be destroyed. But it's important to tie together two concepts that the Bible holds together: his grace, his sovereign choice, and our obedience. And I want us to reflect on these two ideas for a while, to see that with privilege comes responsibility. If we go back to that verse in Exodus 19 and 5 that talked about God's sovereign choice of Israel, there is a conditional element. He says, "If you obey me fully and keep my covenant, then out of all nations you will be my treasured possession." So there's a condition there. With privilege comes responsibility. Let's think first of all of the privilege of God's favor upon this city. It seems that because of what we read in the Bible, Jerusalem is indeed a favored place in God's eyes, even up to today. Whenever we read the New Testament, it suggests that Jerusalem, and certainly Israel, will play an important and prominent part in the return of Jesus. Some suggest, on the basis of Zechariah 14 and Acts chapter 1 and 11, when Jesus ascended, and it says that he will descend in the same manner in which he ascended, some people think that Jesus will descend again in Jerusalem, although it doesn't actually explicitly say that, but some think that's what's going to happen. Paul, in Romans chapter 11, suggests that Israel's current state of unbelief towards Jesus will change in the last days, and it will be a sign and a symbol that Jesus is returning. Now, there is very little, certainly at this stage, to point to a change of heart in the nation of Israel to recognize Jesus as the Messiah. But we are encouraged to pray for that day to come, to pray for the peace of Jerusalem. And that's why I think it is important that we pray for organizations like Jews for Jesus and others that are working to share the good news of Jesus with the Jewish people. So God still has a favored place for Jerusalem, and it may well and probably will play a significant part in the return of our Lord. But the second thing to note is that as well as that ongoing privilege and favor that is upon Jerusalem, there is the important point to note that God's Son is more important than that place. That God is more concerned about our faith in Christ more than faith in a place. Obedience to God through His Son always takes priority over a place. What you are is always more important than where you are. And for those, even today in Jerusalem, who believe that because they maybe live in Jerusalem or who are part of Israel, that all will be well with them and all will go well with God, that is not necessarily the case. The key element is whether they trust in God's Son, the Messiah. And a fatal mistake that God's people made in the Old Testament was to believe that because they lived in Zion, because they worshipped at the temple, they were protected from harm, protected from judgment. Jeremiah chapter 7, just a few verses, tells us that that is not the case. Jeremiah says, "This is the word that came to Jeremiah. Stand at the gate of the Lord's house and proclaim this message. Hear the word of the Lord, all you people of Judah who come through these gates to worship the Lord. This is what the Lord Almighty, the God of Israel, says. Reform your ways and your actions, and I will let you live in this place. Do not trust in deceptive words and say, 'This is the temple of the Lord, this is the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord.' No, if you really change your ways and your actions and deal with each other justly, if you do not oppress the alien, the fatherless, or the widow, and do not shed innocent blood in this place, if you do not follow other gods, then I will let you live in this place, in the land that I gave your forefathers, forever and ever." Yes, Zion is a privileged place, but the other side of the coin is that privilege leads to responsibility. Your behavior must reflect the fact that you are of Zion, a child of Zion. And because God's people did not live distinctively different lives and they worshipped other gods and they became selfish, God brought His judgment upon them. And I think that that is a lesson that many of us today need to learn from. Because in Northern Ireland, because it is such a strong evangelical culture, many people feel that because they were born in a church, in terms of their name is on the register, it's on the roll, maybe even on the communicant roll, they are at ease and they say, "Nothing can happen to me. I will not receive God's judgment because I have given my life to Christ at an early age. I am in Zion. I am protected. Or I come to church every Sunday. Surely nothing could happen to me." But we can become complacent. We can be at ease in Zion, and we, in effect, can be living a double life, where on the one hand we do the right thing and we say the right thing and we sing the right songs. But underneath that veneer, underneath that religious varnish, there is actually no reality. There is no relationship with Jesus. And we are giving in to the three great idols of today of money, sex, and power. But God sees this. And like Israel of old, He can withdraw His blessing. Complacency and ease can lead to sin and compromise lives. Yes, know who you are, a child of Zion, if you have given your life to Christ. But this should impact how you live. This should impact how you spend your money. This should impact the priorities in your life. We are children of God, children of Zion by grace, but there is a privilege and a responsibility. Paul in Galatians reminds his readers, both Gentiles and Jews, that the Old Testament Jerusalem on earth represents the old law-based covenant. But he says it's been replaced by a new Jerusalem in heaven. And he says in Galatians 4 and 26, "The Jerusalem that is above is free, and she is our mother. We are still children of that city, just as Abraham is still our father in the faith. So Jerusalem is still our birthplace by faith." John Newton's hymn that we were singing reminds us, "Savior, since of Zion's city, I through grace a member am. Let the world deride or pity, I will glory in your name." So this is our identity. We too are children of Zion. We too are children of Jerusalem. And that means that we worship God, as it says in that passage in Hebrews, yes, with informality and intimacy sometimes, but sometimes with reverence and awe, because our God is still a consuming fire. We do not take him for granted. This is our identity. And we look forward to that day that Revelation 21 speaks of, when the heavenly city will come down to earth. The physical earthly Jerusalem is a pale shadow of what is coming. And we look forward to being in that heavenly city. So in summary, what have we seen so far? We've seen that God in his grace chooses a people for himself. God in his grace chose to set his favor upon Jerusalem, Zion. But God's gracious favor is conditional on the obedience of his people. It was then, and it is now. We need to be born again, children born from above, but with privilege comes responsibility. But the third thing I want to say, as well as seeing privilege and responsibility in this psalm, in the last half of it, from verse 4 to 7, we see a great missional zeal. The psalmist, in an astoundingly prophetic way, looks forward to those who will be born in Zion or of Zion, and yet they're not Israelites. They're not Jews. He speaks of Rahab. Now, Rahab is another name for Egypt. So Egyptians will be in the heavenly Jerusalem. Even more strikingly, he speaks about Babylon, the enemy empire which was responsible for the destruction of Jerusalem. He says Babylonians will be in the new Zion. The people of Philistia, Philistines, all through the Old Testament, the Philistines were a thorn in the flesh of Israel. Again, there will be people from Philistia in the new heaven and the new earth, citizens of Zion. God's intent is always missional. In choosing Israel, it was not because it was a fortress, but I'm suggesting that because it was raised up, the light of Jerusalem would shed out amongst the nations. And that is the story today. God's focus is always on mission. And we who are in a very evangelical and strongly Christian country, I believe that God wants us to be an outflowing towards Europe, towards the world, to be an influence for good and for God. God's desire is that when the new Jerusalem descends, it will be inhabited by peoples with a diverse range of languages, a diverse range of nations. In verse 5 it says, "This one and that one were born in Zion. The Lord will write in the register of the peoples, this one was born in Zion." What is your identity this morning? Is it someone who knows your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life? Because if it is not there, the Bible says that we will be cast away from God for eternity. It's the most important thing that our name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life, that our name is in that birth register. Born from above, surrendered our lives to Christ, and then live in a way which shows our love for him. We find this theme strongly in the prophet Isaiah, in Isaiah chapter 2. It says, "In the last days, the mountain of the Lord's temple will be established as chief among the nations. It will be raised above the hills, and all nations will stream to it. Many peoples will come and say, 'Come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob.' The law will go out from Zion, the word of the Lord from Jerusalem." I love it that Heikkerk has a missionary and a missional vision. I love praying, as we have done today, for teams that are going out from this church, because that reflects God's heart, that we would be a hub for mission, a city set on a hill. That is a good vision to have. But the exciting thing is that we don't need to actually even go outside our borders, because there are people from other nations coming to us. Something like 2% of the population in Northern Ireland now is Polish. And many Polish-speaking people are coming to our mums and tothers. They're coming to the English language classes. We have people from Lithuania, Latvia, Brazil, Romania. We have opportunity to share something of the gospel from our hearts with these people as we help them. And as we try and fulfill this great mandate, and maybe one day in the future in heaven, we'll be able to say, "This one and that one were born in Zion, but it was because they came across our path." And we have that missional focus. We need to pray and preach, and we want to populate Zion. Is that one of your greatest desires as you walk down the street of Ballymena, as you look around these people, as you work with them? Is your desire that they would be children of Zion? I hope so. It shows that you're a child of Zion when you have this missional emphasis, when you have this focus, this love for people. Psalm 87. It's a wonderful psalm, really, very much looking ahead of its time. It is a prophetic psalm. It speaks of privilege. It speaks of responsibility. It speaks of mission. We are children of Zion. What an awesome privilege. Let's pray. Father, as we have reflected on this wonderful psalm, and upon this great truth that we are children of Zion, children of the living God, with that privilege comes responsibility. Help us to be obedient children. Help us, out of love, to worship you, to witness for you, to work for you. May we be a congregation where people see light streaming out from us, the life of Jesus. They see that all our fountains are in you. All our refreshment is in Christ, that he makes all the difference. Help us to be this kind of people. And then we look forward to living in that Zion, that heavenly city, with Christ at the center. In his name we pray. Amen.